Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on? We're back on the Mulletcast, aka Ming Chen's baseball card, Ken Griffey Jr. story. We're going to continue with, but we are joined by Chef Kevin Cronin. We're back at the new Iron Room in Atlantic City. What's going on, Kevin?
Nothing, man. How you guys been?
Good. Good to see you. We were here a year ago, and me, Ming, Kelly Fernandez was there. Mike Mercier were there, and like every so often, we constantly talk about that meal we ate that day at the Iron Room. It was epic.
Nice.
So we appreciate you having us back to the new spot.
Absolutely.
Is that happening again?
That's right. John's working. John hasn't eaten in 3 days.
I always. The sequel's never as good as the first one.
So I guess before we dive back into baseball cards and wine, because I do want to continue that conversation, but tell us a little bit about the move to the new spot. What's different about your setup here compared to the other place?
So Mark Colazzo has been developing this whole block for some time. It started with Maid, segued into the beer hall. It made sense for him from a standpoint to move the Iron Room, which was in a challenging location to begin with,
right,
to move it over here in an area where we get foot traffic, where we have casinos and walking distance. The boardwalk's right up the street. You know, we never had that over at the other location. And it was like some nights you'd go over there and the parking lot would be empty, but the place would be packed because everybody was Ubering.
Right.
So the one good thing about that is we're trying to eliminate that cost while still kind of maintaining the same kind of food that we had at the old Iron Room. The concept kind of has been split a little bit here, but we feel like it's going to work out to everyone's benefit.
Gotcha.
To old fans of the Iron Room, and plus hopefully all the new people that we attract.
Right. So now it also looks like you're open all day long because you have some coffee here in the morning, some stuff going on in the mornings.
Right. Yeah. So I'd like to start doing once everything gets really up and running, more of like a breakfast and a lunch, kind of a light kind of flow all day, and then segue into dinner, but then just have maybe dinner on the weekends a couple times during the week, kind of make it kind of exclusive and cool, something to do, but at the same time maintaining a 6 day or 7 day a week business at Rhythm and Spirits next door.
Gotcha.
So Rhythm and Spirits kind of takes over the whiskey aspect of the Iron Room, a lot of the cool bar bites, like a new burger is going, because everyone loved the burger at the old Iron Room.
Right.
We're doing a new version of it for Rhythm and Spirits.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we want to have that kind of fun kind of like atmosphere over there, and that like nice dining kind of event experience over here in the evening.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's cool. And we popped in Rhythm and Spirits a couple weeks ago and had one of the bar pies over there that were pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm doing pizza now.
You're doing that.
Yeah. So yeah, we have the pizza concept going on over there too, which is really cool. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. So what's going on with the kitchen? Because I saw a photo of a kitchen getting wheeled in here.
Right. So we had it custom built, and then we had it delivered on a flatbed. It was then there last night. All night, or 2 nights ago, it sat out in the parking lot all night.
Right.
They brought it around back and then used a crane to lift it and then drop it in the back. So we just have to wait for the hookups to happen, so like electric and water and all that stuff. And that's to be inspected by the city and the health department.
So is it in an old...
It's a shipping container.
It's a shipping container. That's
a giant shipping container.
Why couldn't I find the word shipping container? So is it in an old shipping container? And you guys are going to raise it and put it on the back of this building, or put it on?
It's already on a concrete block out back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So how's that going to work? There'll be some kind of connection to the restaurant? Or?
Yeah, we're going to have a cover out there eventually. There's going to be rear entry from the back here, obviously in the back, but from the back of Rhythm and Spirits, we will hopefully have outdoor dining by the summertime.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Okay, and then just tent it up to get to the place in the winter.
Right, something
in the middle of the blizzard. So steaks aren't getting snowed on.
Yeah, because I didn't even realize you didn't have a kitchen here already. And then I saw on Instagram, we should mention, people should follow Iron Room AC on Instagram, and you can see the picture that says, you see the shipping container, it says the kitchen's finally here. And I was like, what the heck? Like,
I thought it was a joke.
And then at first I didn't know like if it was just being unloaded, like is it like kitchen supplies coming in, but it's going to be like a self-contained kitchen.
Yeah, I've been inside of it.
Yeah,
it's really nice in there.
So who puts that together?
So essentially it was Lee Sanchez, but then he would just just kind of like, he would browse a couple different specs, show me the specs. I say, I like this, or I don't like that, or I like this, or I like that. And then we would just kind of rearrange it and do the best we could to get it in that kind of limited space.
Right.
And then we came to a design that we both liked. And,
so it's not like a company that puts these together. Basically, you guys bought a shipping container?
No, there is a company that puts them together, but you design it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, they're based out of, I think it's Concession Nation. I think they're just a concession something.
Right.
They're based out of Florida, I think.
Wow.
And they build custom like food trucks, food trailers.
So that thing sat on a flatbed and was driven up from Florida.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
That's wild.
And the guy had to bunk it overnight. He had just left his truck running in the parking lot.
What does the kitchen cost? $100,000 in a shipping container like that?
Around there, yeah.
$100,000.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
That's wild. So what? So you still have to do inspections once it gets like set up with the tab. How long do you think that process will take?
It all depends on them, but they really like us. Right. So they'll come quick. Hopefully.
Now, when you're trying to get stuff like approved through the city, do you send over like a box of pastries that you put in the little?
We're just very polite for as long as we can be.
Okay,
that's really what it is. It's just about being polite because
What about come by the restaurant anytime?
We usually like to have a set time and so do they. They work, especially with the health inspector and the food inspector.
Yeah,
they work weird hours. Like they don't go to work to like they almost work like chefs or cooks hours. They go to work sometimes at 6 o'clock at night.
Right,
because they want to hit you with this stuff in the middle of your dinner.
They want to get you right in the middle.
Yeah, because they know that everything is nice and pretty until dinner happens.
Right.
And even like Anthony Bourdain's written about that and other chefs have talked about that. It's like everything's nice and beautiful and pretty up until the moment
the shit
ticket
the
starts coming in. Yes. And then all of a sudden it's like you got something sitting out for 40 minutes. You got something over there for half an hour.
Right.
That's over reduced. Hit it with water. You know?
So it is funny because when we pulled up this morning, there was a fire truck in the parking lot and I looked in the window and all I saw were like reflected like fire jackets and it looked like there was like some event here, but you actually had like an entire like fire department was in grabbing coffee.
Yeah, right. Do that.
So, so you're obviously, you know, getting people are excited. You're in the new neighborhood as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess what I was trying to get at was like, how do you grease palms around here? But I guess you danced around it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's never happened in Atlantic City. Right? Like, no palm greasing going on.
You know, I'm just I'm a simple guy from Cape May County. And,
yeah. Oh, so you're from around here.
Oh, yeah, I live like 20 minutes south of here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real cool.
That's cool. All right, so let's pick up what Ming was talking about a little bit. You carried over the wine from the old Iron Room. Obviously, you were known for wines over there as well.
Right.
And the cocktails you touched on will be next door at Rhythm and Spirits. So what's your process with wines and what's available here? Is it like comparable to what you're doing in the old spot?
Right now, I think by the glass list definitely is. At some point, we have to work this out with the state, but we will be moving some of the inventory from over there to here.
Mm.
And then some of the liquor inventory from the old Iron Room to the new Iron Room.
Mm.
That way we can kind of have the reserve that we are known for having because we had a really incredible reserve list over there.
Mm.
And we actually had like a intermediate kind of reserve there as well. You remember the glass wall with the wine bottles in it? Those aren't like the $300-$500 bottles of wine, but they're like the $60-$50 bottle of wines. And that's like my favorite place in the whole in the whole spot because there's incredible wine in that wall.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you're going to build like a shipping container, like wine cellar outside?
Maybe? I don't know. We're going to do. We've been trying to find ways to kind of get the reserve over here and really just kind of display it somewhere in here.
Right.
But it needs to be temperature controlled. So we were fiddling around with maybe like cutting the bathroom in half. Like we don't know. We just have no idea. So,
right.
Yeah.
So what's the downtime been like for you? Like I didn't realize you didn't have a kitchen already. So like how long have you been out of the old place and what have you been doing like to get this place geared up?
So we closed the old Iron Room on Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And then we did a couple of small events in there 2 weekends after that. So it was like we did all like liquor. Tuesday nights we had half off whiskey, so we just did half off whiskey all weekend. And then I was doing kind of like omakase style plates where I was just kind of like throwing something together, whatever I had in the kitchen, and sending it out for like, you know, $8 or whatever, $7.
Wow.
So we did a couple of those events. They were
successful. That's just to get rid of inventory,
pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
And it's, you know, but it's a little give back.
Yeah. Right? But it gets busy there initially. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, I don't have anything. Well, I have stuff, but I gotta right now start kind of like piecemealing like dishes together sending them out. You know, like, that one's $5. Like, yeah. So yeah. So
that's really cool. So is a part of the kitchen being in a shipping container? Like, well, who knows if we end up moving this thing 3 years from now, and at least we've got the kitchen to roll with us.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of it. I mean, it depends on what you move to. Like, right. If you double the size of the seating capacity, we're going to need a whole new kitchen.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's always the issue with that. The kitchen always...
Or you could just straight out sell the kitchen.
Yeah, you could. You know? Yeah, you could sell the kitchen. Lease it or whatever. Yeah.
That's right. So, oddly enough, there's also a shipping container hotel that's going to be opening, like, across the block, basically, in the future.
Yeah.
So have you noticed a big difference being part of, like, the Orange Loop compared to the old spot? Like, do you feel, like, a lot more in it, like, being part of a neighborhood now?
I do. Yeah, definitely. Because we can see it, especially on the weekends. You can see people kind of cruising up and down the street. A lot of, like, foot traffic. A lot of people looking for a place to park. Mm-hmm. They're, like, looking in here. We're not always open late at night. Rhythm and Spirits is open. The beer hall is open. And then Maid is open until, like, 10, 11 o'clock at night, depending on business.
Right.
So
how many... What do you think the percentage is locals? And I definitely fluctuate summer to winter.
Well, I'd say in the winter, it's probably like 80 to 90% locals.
Oh, wow.
And then in the off season, I'd say it's probably like 15 to 20% locals.
Cool.
Because the locals are really kind of hustling in the summertime. A lot of them either own their own business or they work in the service industry, so they're busy. They're all busy. And they're looking to catch a drink at like 1 a.m., you know? Yeah.
So have you been doing... So are you preparing food right now for any of the spots next door, Rhythm and Spirits or the Beer Hall?
Well, the Beer Hall has their own chef. Okay. That's Charles Soreth. He's a great guy. And then Maid...
Are you better than him?
...does their own... Huh?
Are you better than him?
That's subjective.
I see a throwdown in the future.
Chef off.
So right here, we've been doing what we can, what we're allowed to do. So it's basically like some cold sandwiches we have. We're like avocado toast. We're able to do some egg sandwiches. The biggest thing with the Board of Health is you can't produce a lot of grease.
Okay.
So we just don't produce really any grease. That's the biggest thing. So yeah, there's no place to put it if you don't have a grease trap.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's not, but yeah.
I mean, but
interesting's a better word.
You're able to do something, you know, like in the meantime.
Yeah, we are. And people have been really receptive to what we have been doing, which is good.
Right.
And this is kind of what we want anyway. And like, we're going to add some things once we get the kitchen. I'd like to do like a eggs dish, French toast, that kind of stuff. Because there isn't really a good place in this immediate area to get a good breakfast.
Right.
You can get a buffet breakfast. You can go to like a Greasy Spoon. Mm-hmm. And that's your thing. That's your thing. You'll never come here, you know, but yeah.
So are you getting antsy? Like, is it hard for you not like having your spot?
Yes and no. I mean, I bought a house, so I've been like kind of just tooling around my house for a little bit. So I get to do stuff like that. But we've had a lot of events. See soon. We've had a lot of events, and that's been really good. Kind of keep me on my toes.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Ming. So sorry, man. I cut you off telling your baseball card story because I want to talk about this more.
Yeah.
What were you talking about?
We were talking about the baseball card market back in the late 80s, early 90s, when it looked like it was about to explode. All of us baseball nuts were buying cards and spending hundreds of dollars on sets and thinking that we'd be able to flip them in a few years and get rich and pay off our college educations and buy Ferraris.
Yeah.
And
it was the Bitcoin of that era.
It was.
Yeah, it was. And people were going nuts for these things. So I was working minimum wage jobs. I saved for weeks for, I think it was a 1989 Upper Deck set.
Right.
And Ken Griffey Jr. was like the big card in there. And
that was the premier set from that company too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's have you seen the Netflix documentary? I can't think what it's like a dude about baseball cards, but it turns into this weird story about his dad and stuff.
Yeah.
But they basically uncovered like Upper Deck was blowing out. They basically like financed the company by like printing massive amounts of Ken Griffey cards.
Yeah, there was a lot of shadiness going on.
They're counterfeiting their own card, right?
Yeah, just flooding the market with these things.
Yeah.
But you know, to us kids, we're like, oh man, we better get them now. Like we're gonna, you know, we're gonna be rich. And I still have my set. I think that card's worth not that much.
Yeah, the Griffey's not much. But do you have other, like, you got some favorite cards or anything?
I mean, that's one of them. I mean, I've collected all the guys who took massive amounts of steroids. I have all their rookie cards.
All the Tegos.
Oh, man.
Tegos, the McGuire.
That's huge.
Bonds, Sammy Sosa.
Did you pen in some asterisks in the corners?
I didn't. I'll take maybe a hole punch or something. Asterisk hole punch. and do it there. Yeah, I didn't have the budget. I met a dude later on who his dad collected, so he had mantles and he had, you know, he had real cards of real value.
Nice.
Which I wish I had.
You know what though, man? You throw that stuff up on a you could frame that stuff, put it up in a hallway somewhere. It's right. Pretty cool. It'll be in good shape forever and it looks cool.
The Hall of Steroid team. Yeah,
the Hall of Steroids would be awesome.
Hall of Steroids is awesome.
Steroid Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So Kevin, what kind of cards were you collecting?
So I, similar to Ming's story, I collected a lot during the 80s and the 90s, the Upper Deck. I kind of missed the boat on the 89, but I actually had that Upper Deck extended set from those years that came out, and there was a lot of really good finds in there. Right. Then Top Stadium Club came out, this high gloss Tops version.
Right.
Those were cool. The Scott Erickson rookies, I had six of them. They were worth like 20 bucks a shot at
the
time.
Were.
Now they're like a nickel.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, for every Mike Trout, you're going to get like 10 Jerome Waltons out there.
Right.
And I know you guys, everybody but Cubs fans from like the early 90s, like, who?
I remember Don Ross. I had four John Moseses because it was my name. He was the second baseman for the Minnesota Twins.
Nice.
So I had a couple of those guys. Yeah.
Some of those old Fleer cards are worth a lot, like from the 80s. Because I had a bunch of those from the very early 80s from Fleer. And I actually did buy cards from the 60s. So I have like a Koufax, a Padres.
Yeah.
I have a Duke Snider. I've got a group of Phillies fans. I even got a Richie Ashburn. Got him on the Cubs, but it's still a Richie Ashburn card.
Right, right.
I'm a Philly fan. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's funny, like, my childhood, the Yankees were awesome. I grew up in Jersey, so, like, all my friends were Yankees fans. I became an Astros fan.
Oh, nice.
So I traded all, like,
always
the valuable Yankees cards for, like, all these, like, worthless Astros cards. So I got, like, all the 70s. It was, like, before the Astros were any good, you know?
Right.
So, like, the bulk of my early collection is all just commons, basically.
Yeah.
You know? But later...
You should have got yourself a lot of Nolan Ryans, though, from those days.
I do. That's
the Ryan Express.
Yeah. That's what got me in. I have my best card is probably I don't have a Ryan rookie. His rookies with Kuzman, the two of them together.
Yeah.
It was like a 69 Mets future prospect.
Oh, they were 69ing?
Yeah.
That's a good card. That's got to be worth
it. Good year.
No, it was 68. And then I think his first like card of just him.
I have that card. The one where he's pitching far back when he's on the Mets.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the rookie card, but I do have that card.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the same with me.
I loved pitchers. I like pitching.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of hockey cards. I'm from Canada. We didn't mess with baseball cards like that.
I just remember my favorite card of all time, though, which is, of course, the Billy Ripken card.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know anything about this card.
Which one's that one?
Well, there was a card that came out. I can't remember what year it was. I can't remember who made it. I think it was Fleer.
It was either Fleer or Don Ross.
Yeah.
I think it was Don Ross because Don Ross had those weird, like, reverse negative sets.
Yes.
They had all those weird kind of inconsistency sets.
Yeah, and, you know, he's taking during spring training, and he's holding a bat, and if you look at the knob of the bat, it says F-face on it.
Oh,
and the F-word. This got out in the public, and, of course, parents got all up in arms, and they had to pull the card.
Third-generation ball player.
Right,
baseball royalty.
Yeah.
The card's out there. It's done.
You know, as much press.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
His brother was getting for breaking Lou Gehrig's record. That's his claim. That's his legacy now.
That's awesome.
And he claims, he was like, oh, I didn't know. I just grabbed a bat from the rack, but it's perfectly positioned. It's not crooked or anything. He later came out, and he's like, I knew. I didn't think they were going to release it.
You better get caught. Right.
Yeah, and then later versions, they put, you know, like a black square over it, or there's one that looked like they put whiteout on it.
It's awesome.
Just the story of that card is amazing.
I don't remember that one.
That card should be like not only live on in infamy, but they should be like blown up. That poster should be everywhere.
Totally.
It really should be. Yeah.
There is a guy recently, and I wish I could remember what he did. He did something similar. He was like a minor league player, and he got called up briefly. But his goal goal was to do something goofy in his, you know, when the photographers for the sports cards come around, and he got it in, and I can't remember what it was. It was a funny one too.
This is on a very scaled down level. My best buddy in high school went in and got a second headshot,
right?
And this one, he slicked his hair back and had a leather vest with no shirt underneath, and he said his name was Donnie Brasco.
got
in the yearbook. It was so funny. Yeah.
That's sweet. That's cool. So do you collect cards nowadays still?
No, I don't really collect anything these days. You know, I collect like pins.
Mm.
Yeah, you can find a lot of cool pins. I don't know why. Because I've always kind of collected things over the years, and collections can really get out of control or out of hand, especially with space. So pins was like this perfect thing where it's like I can still collect things. Mm. It's vintage. I'm into that.
That's another thing that looked pretty cool framed up.
Yeah.
Like a little glass case.
Right. I got like a Nixon. I have like a Now More Than Ever Nixon. There's also like some Jimmy Carters and Kennedys out there. They have the old like the ones you get, like the clipped ones.
Right.
Really big Carter ones. It's like that big. It's like Jimmy Carter, Now More Than Ever, or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Humongous.
That's cool. So are you getting
a pin right here?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I don't care.
No. And I have pins from the movie They Live that say like Obey and Conform.
Cool,
and yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is cool.
I would love to get some just old They Live art. Like, I've seen some like renderings of some stuff from They Live. It's so cool, man. Yeah, just frame it up.
Longest fight scene in Hollywood history.
Oh, don't I know it?
Sometimes when I'm watching that movie, I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this 15-minute fight scene. Fast forward a little bit.
Yeah. It's so great. South Park, I think, did a spoof on that. That scene from They Live with a fight scene. Yeah.
That's awesome. Man, you don't collect anything, do you?
I've been known to dabble in collecting. You just put a quota. Collection can get out of hand. I know that all too well. Yes. Yeah, Funko Pop figures, movie props, movie prop replicas. You name it. We stuffed it in our podcast studio.
I was collecting STDs for a little while in the early 2000s.
Wow. I'm glad you're not collecting those anymore.
Some things you gotta let go.
Some things you gotta let go. Or cure in this case. So yes.
Nice.
And I recently started collecting, well, not recently, but I've picked up my vinyl collection again.
Oh, that's cool.
All my CDs are gone.
Right.
So I have all this extra space now. So I was like, let's fill it up with vinyl.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So do you have you got a player in the house?
Yeah, I have a record player, and like if there's something I like, I'll buy it. I go to a lot of the same place I get the pins, coincidentally, you can get old records.
Oh really?
So you can just sit there and sift through old records and old pins all day. That's
cool.
That's a lot of fun.
That your mustache screams record collection.
Yeah.
That's right. What kind of record player you got? You got a vintage one or
no? I don't even know what I have. I had one basically because I wanted to be able to take some of the analog and record it to digital. So I just picked up one that could do that.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think that once I get everything kind of set up, I'll have something a little bit more kind of. I had an old one, but it was broken and rewired, and I just was like, you know what? I just need this. Let's put this on here right now.
So. That's cool.
Favorite record growing up?
Me, like the first record I really remember saving up money to buy, and it was an expensive one, so it was double album, was Kiss Alive 2. Like, I was stoked for. I remember one Christmas I got Ace Frehley's solo record, which I was happy about, but I really wanted Alive 2. So going out and buying that was pretty awesome.
The record I probably played the most was my dad's Saturday Night Fever record.
Nice.
Me and my buddies would get so stoned and listen to that record and try and have dance offs, you know.
That's cool. What do you got?
I don't know. I know what I liked when I was a kid that transferred over today. I'm trying to think of the first record I ever saved up for, and I don't know. It was probably a cassette tape. So
right.
I'd probably have to say, because I'm still a huge Kinks fan. I've been a huge Kinks fan my entire life.
Me too.
So it was probably Power Man, just because Lola was on it when I was a young kid. I used to love that song. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I remember getting, so the Kinks, like I grew up, the records I grew up with were all my parents' records. So it was like Beatles, Kinks, Who.
Every Beatles.
And then Springsteen.
It was amazing how many Beatles songs I know start to finish without knowing that I know them until it comes on. I'm like, oh my God, I know that.
Right.
You know, just from my childhood.
Yeah. But this year, actually, my dad and I still, we went to see Dave Davies was at,
nice.
He played in Red Bank.
Yeah.
So the Kinks were someone like throughout my whole childhood and adulthood. Yeah. I love the Kinks.
They just re-released Arthur too.
You're right.
50-year anniversary.
So it's the funniest thing, man, is my office is above a coffee shop. And
and they play really good music in there. And I didn't know they re-released Arthur, and suddenly for like weeks they're playing Arthur. It's like on heavy rotation. I was like, what the hell is going on? It turned out. So it's funny, like, to be somewhere now and just hearing Arthur, like, took me back to childhood.
Yeah, big shout out to High Voltage and Asbury Park. Totally.
For sure. They got Jason gets the playlist going over there. It's killer.
Yeah.
What about you, Ming? Favorite record?
I have two. The first one I ever got was a 45 of the Manhattan Transfer, Boy from New York City. Nice. I don't know why. I think I heard the song on the radio. It got stuck in my head. I made my parents drive me to Kmart, and we found it. And that, I think I still have it somewhere.
Right.
That and the original Rocky soundtrack came out on vinyl.
Yeah, come on. I have that on vinyl, too.
Yeah.
Frank Stallone.
And, totally.
And
Take It Back. Yeah. Singing around the garbage cans on fire in Philly.
Yeah. And we were little six-year-olds going around hitting each other, like Rocky Balboa. So good memories. Good
still
memories.
Get you fired up.
Good.
But you said Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
Frank was Stallone. In Rocky 2, I think, right? Eye of the Tiger.
He sang, I think.
Was he on the first one?
I think he sang Eye of the Tiger.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was Rocky 2, maybe, right?
No, I think it was Rocky. I think Eye of the Tiger was Rocky 3.
I think it was 3, yeah.
He still got that royalty, just enough.
Oh, totally.
He was also played a, this is a little Hollywood side note, because he wasn't an actor, but he tried to.
That was actually
Sylvester Stallone.
That was Sly. Yeah. That was Sly himself. But
Frank Stallone, actually, have you ever seen the movie Barfly with Mickey Rourke? He's the guy who beats him up in the bar. That's Frank Stallone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. That's a good one, man. The records. Those are fun. All right, so let's totally segue onto a weird non-pulp pop culture topic, but we're here for the Realtor convention that's going on, Triple Play convention. You probably had people in and out all weekend while that's going on. What's your take on like real estate scene in Atlantic City right now, or the general area, things you see happening like with new businesses, new restaurants, that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, obviously we have Tennessee Avenue, and I know that Chris kind of hinted on it earlier, having the other restaurant opening up, Boray. We have Anchor up on the boardwalk, which is a new rock club, and hopefully that'll really get going in the summertime. I'm not by any means a real estate person,
right?
So my whole thing is to just get people to this area. Like, how do you get people here? And not get people here just as travelers. They're going to come no matter what because of the casinos and the beach. Mm. I'm going to stay here and live here,
Right.
It's funny because, some people might view, another restaurant as competition. But we had a conversation with a guy up in Asbury Park who's trying to sell the Airbnb. And we were talking about, do you feel competition from this hotel coming in? And he's like, no, not at all. In fact, this is what will drive more business here. Like, when you go on a vacation, you don't go to a place with only one or two hotels. You go to a place that's flooded with hotels because they have the most to do.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, let's go down to that area of town. It's now known for great food,
Right, totally. Yeah, and you mentioned Boré across the street. You guys, and I don't know your involvement in it, but I thought it was interesting, the Orange Loop website. It seems like all businesses in the area kind of joining together to promote the Orange Loop as a destination.
Yeah, they want to promote this whole area as as a walking area.
Right.
And if we had an apartment building over here, it'd be really great. A really nice apartment building for people to rent and buy.
Right.
Then the whole area would be, crowded.
Right.
And we would have all that necessary foot traffic, even more of it. Mm. We would have regulars in the coffee shop, regulars for breakfast, regulars at the beer hall. We do, but real regulars, neighborhood regulars.
Right.
I live where I live, there's a bar and restaurant 30 seconds down the street from me in a car ride. Mm. I worked there as a kid. I know everyone there.
Right.
So that's where I go.
That's cool.
Right. So why can't you have something like that in the city? You do in New York, you do in Philadelphia.
Right.
Yeah, you have it in even in smaller cities like Atlantic City, Asbury Park, it's the same way. Mm. I remember when Asbury Park was nothing.
Right.
And now it's this great built up jewel of the Jersey Shore.
Mm.
Tons of stuff to do, great food.
Right.
Fun events.
There is a movie that has some Indian kid in London going to Asbury Park because of Bruce Springsteen and all that stuff. Right?
I didn't see that, but I know what you're talking
about. What a great commercial. What I mean?
Yeah, it's weird because he's like, Mom and Dad, I have to do this. I'm like, you might want to pump the brakes on your whole future. I got to go to American Asbury Park.
Too many people are at Asbury Park are like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, we get it. You like Bruce Springsteen, but don't ruin your life over it, son.
Plan a trip, kid.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I love that. So, have you noticed a change since since you opened the Iron Room originally? Like, have you seen things, like, you know, what's your take on the city and what's happened since that time frame?
Well, you guys were a little bit of like pioneers. Could you say that?
I mean, if you want to, I don't really feel comfortable talking about myself that way.
Okay, but not pioneer. But what I mean is, like, you were one of the, I don't want to say first, but you were sort of like, as far as redevelopment, you guys are probably in here pretty early, right? Like, somebody had a vision.
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, Mark Colazzo came in. He had the vision to kind of do this.
Just right. As you said, Mark Colazzo came in, he walked
he
in.
He had the vision to kind of, you know, turn the city around, and it started with the Iron Room move
over
here.
Well, there you go. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't mean pioneer in some, like, bougie type of way. Like, I just mean, like, you guys were, you know, early on the forefront. You know?
Yeah, right. And then other places kind of, like, you could see culinarily some of the restaurants starting to kind of do different things, kind of maybe step out of their kind of creative comfort zone for a little bit.
What's up, man?
And then when you have places like
how's it going?
Cardinal Bistro opening in Ventnor, and, you know, Bouret, the New Orleans style place over there, and kind of you're seeing people kind of step out of the box a little bit.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And even places that have done well for a long time that nobody really knows about, like Kelsey and Kim's, are now starting to get more exposure all of a sudden.
Sure.
So, which is really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kelsey's and Kim's.
It's funny because you mentioned Atlantic City. Like, I've mentioned Atlantic City. Like, oh, I'm going to do shows here. I'm, you know, staying at the Showboat. Like, just to people even up in Monmouth County where I live. And they're like, oh, Atlantic City. Like, it's still got, like, a negative reputation around it. But it seems like it's starting to grow out. And, you know, maybe that's starting to change.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. It's probably, like, the next level of development is, like, non-casino related, right? Like,
right.
Things like your restaurant.
Well, that's what it has to be.
That bring people in.
Yeah. Because the casino has just always been one of those places you can be ushered in and out of.
Right.
So it doesn't really necessarily matter what's happening around it.
Right.
You know what I mean? As long as you can kind of just be kind of put in that place, you can sleep there, eat there, shower there, be entertained there.
Sure.
Show.
I've spent a week at the Borgata a year and a half ago. I don't think I left the Borgata.
Right.
The entire time I was there. You know, I was doing shows, right? But I don't think I left. I think I walked underground and pushed my kid in a stroller to, like, the neighboring casino, but that was it, you know?
You didn't walk on the boardwalk at all?
Nothing. No. Yeah. You know, but, and I think from a sustainability... I think from a sustainability standpoint, though, like, for the city itself, this is what has to happen, you know?
Because
the boardwalks are going to go up and down with the economy to some extent, you know?
Yep. No, that's true. All right, so what... I know it's hard for you to put a time frame on things because you're dealing with, like, city inspections and stuff. What do you think's, like, kind of reasonable time frame for when people should gear up for, like, I want to go have dinner at the Iron Room?
I think we're really kind of looking to New Year's Eve kind of being the first big night. We might do some kind of soft stuff in between now and then. That's really about it.
That's cool. So you have something announced for New Year's Eve already people could go to?
Okay, there's a menu out there.
Is there?
They can see it on the website, Facebook.
Cool.
Remember, go to social media before you call us.
That's right. Go to...
my phone calls.
All right, sweet. So
that menu, what's on that menu right now?
It's more like a greatest hits kind of thing from the old Iron Room.
Okay, cool.
So we've got the bacon on there. We've got the mac and cheese on there. I'm doing the Kentucky Fried Quail with the arugula salad. Man. We've got a different version of the hanger steak.
Oh, man, you're speaking my language right now.
Plus, we're doing the... I forget what fish I'm doing, but we're doing it with the dauphinoise and the tomato broth. And we do stay out of chocolate now because of Maid.
Right.
It really just kind of doesn't make any sense
for
making bean to bar over there.
Right.
So we're going to be doing like a cereal milk creme brulee, cereal cream creme brulee, and then we'll be doing a bread pudding, which people loved over the other Iron Room. So,
oh, cool.
Wow, cool. So do you incorporate some of Maid stuff into your... Are you gonna
collaborate
with them?
Basically? Yeah, we do Maid. Like, we'll do like a chocolate tasting over here. We have it available for retail. Sometimes people in the evening, it's like, hey, if they just want some chocolate, we'll do a chocolate tasting for them, or we'll get desserts from them to do here. But mostly it's like a party oriented thing. So if you rented this out, you would have access to our food and then chocolate from Maid.
That's cool.
And then Maid would do brownies or cookies or whatever they do.
Awesome. Any goals for 2020 for you other than kicking ass here at the new location?
I mean, I mean, as far as the business is concerned?
No, you personally. It could be business.
Finishing that house.
Yeah, yeah. I just kind of want to get some things at my house kind of squared away. That's really just the biggest thing right now, yeah.
How's your kitchen at your new house?
It sucks.
Does it?
Yeah. It's all electric, which I can deal with, except for waiting for water to boil. That's right. The worst part about electric.
Right, right.
So I'm going to try to have gas run in. I'm going to see what that's all about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Either that or just like bring a shipping container kitchen into your backyard. Right?
Well, I have a wood-burning oven, so I will have
a shipping container office at my house within 2 years.
John and I have been talking about shipping containers forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like we both have this weird fascination with shipping containers. So
oh, man, yeah.
I'd love to live in one, have an office with one, too.
Well, my friend owns a lot of land down where I live, and he had a shipping container like man cave.
Did he? That's pretty cool.
Open it up, there's couches in there, electric out there, TV, space heater.
That's killer.
And then you see those, have you guys ever heard of those dumpster pulls?
No.
So they would take old dumpsters, clean them out, line them, fill them with water, and put like a filter in there.
No way.
In Brooklyn or like in Queens or something, you could just be hanging out at like a beer hall or a coffee shop or whatever.
There's a dumpster
pool out back or on the street or something like that. It's wild.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's got to be a cheap way to have a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Put the deck right up around it, slip in and out.
Oh, there's no shallow in. It's like you're always in like 10 feet of dumpster water.
That's pretty insane. I did see someone living in a dumpster, like they converted it to an apartment.
Yeah, me too. It was so dumb.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. All right, cool. So everyone check out ironroomac.com. Follow the Iron Room on Instagram at ironroomac. Get here for New Year's Eve. That sounds like an awesome menu. And I guess like entertainment probably next door, Rhythm and Spirits.
Yeah, so we're going to have, we're working packages for the entire evening. So depending on what your plans are, we're trying to be as convenient as possible. So you want to eat early, going to a party later. Maybe you have tickets to an event somewhere in town.
Right.
You want to get you fed and get you out.
Cool.
You know, obviously, so you can be at your place, obviously, by the time you want to be.
Right.
And then we're also offering a late night package here. So if you want to eat at like, let's say 10, you can have your New Year's Eve dinner here with your significant other, a group of friends.
Right.
Go next door. I think it's like an open bar that's included with it.
That's cool.
And maybe some late night bites.
Or significant others for all the big polyamorous party people that are listening. Yeah. We don't want to exclude
or the self-coupled people, whoever they are.
That's right.
That's how I'm rolling, I think, this year. That's pretty sweet. All right, Kevin, we appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
Also, everyone follow Kevin Zero Mind on Instagram as well. Thanks very much,
and
good luck with the new spot. We appreciate you talking to us
today. No problem. I'll see
and hosting us here.
Yeah, man.
Right on. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.